Welcome back. Islamization and the One World Order. Wow, this is a very timely topic. Even, you know, in our own environs, in Nigeria, yeah, in our own part of the world, we know that this is a very, very controversial topic, especially the Islamization part. Ooh. So we showed some videos last week, and a lot of people are, a lot of believers believe there's an Islamization agenda to take over the world. Based on the videos we've showed last week and which we are still showing now, sir, do you think there is an Islamic agenda to take over the world?
Let me put it this way. The Bible speaks about the mystery of iniquity. Amen. You see, I hope somebody will get me very clear. Particularly you and your followers. Islamization, the agenda for Islamization, it is not Islamization to take over the world. Okay. Note it. Okay. See, in the Garden of Eden, that is what I don't pray I can catch, get these things. Each time I listen to prolific speakers, preachers like John Hagin and many more, social media now has exposed us to all manner of theories and preachers and bloggers, religious bloggers, prophets and teachers. And so we're able to hear them, you know. But you see, my advice to the whole Christian world is anything you see going on in the world, you will find it in the Bible.
Mm. Wow. Anything.
Come
you see.
Back to the Bible and line it up with the Bible. Mm. You will see there. That's why I respect this book, the Bible. Now, listen. In the Garden of Eden, all we know is we look at serpent. All we know is serpent. All we know is serpent. The story. But do you know that the satanic influence is silent? Everybody is looking at the serpent as the one that caused our fall. Serpent did not know the effect of what he was doing. He didn't know. But why did God punish serpent? Jesus Christ spoke it. Matthew 18, he said, offenses must come. Correct?
Yes, sir.
He said, but woe to him through whom?
Yes, sir.
The offense will come.
Matthew 18:7.
Read it, please.
Woe unto the world because of offenses.
Uh-huh.
For it must needs be that offenses come.
Uh-huh.
But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
You see? So it's ordained that offense will come. And it came through the serpent.
That's right.
So you saw what happened to him.
Yes, sir.
Now, the whole agenda is a satanic agenda that Islamization is only a tool of it. It's just a part of the whole agenda. That is why, if you notice in the Bible, there is no such thing as Islamization. There is no such thing as one world order. There is no such thing as terrorism and all this. In fact, look at Matthew again, chapter number 24. And then read that from verse 3, and where the whole questions began. Okay.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming?
Now, you see, what will be the sign of thy coming?
And of the end of the world?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Uh-huh.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am
Christ. What is the first thing?
Deception.
Deception.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of
war. War and rumors of war.
See that ye be not troubled.
Uh-huh.
For all these things must come to pass.
Uh-huh. But the end is not yet. Yes.
For nation shall rise against nation.
Uh-huh.
And kingdom against kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places.
As at the time the Lord was saying all this, there was no thought of Islam. Islam did not exist at that time.
That's right.
In fact, Islam existed almost 500 years after
Christ.
So you can see that Islam was not thought of. But there is the knowledge, general knowledge, that a man is going to come to rule the whole world. Because of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18.
Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time.
You see? So everybody knows Antichrist shall come. Antichrist shall come. Antichrist shall come. So any faith that attacks the Christian faith is Antichrist. The leader is the Antichrist. So Islamization, because they go very violent. Their hatred for Christianity is, you know, it's not hidden. Then people begin to look at Islamization as the Antichrist, something as spoken of in the Bible. But let me just tell you something here. Yes, the one world order, the attempt of Satan using a man to rule the whole world, it's not just about using a man, but it is Satan himself ruling the whole world. It's not just a theory. It is a reality. Now, and it does not start with Islamization. Neither does it start with United Nations. Neither is it starting with Hitler. It is called, you know, it is an agenda that is planned and executed by that spirit, Satan himself. But it is revealed to the bride. Amen. And that is why we are not shaken by whatever we see.
Hallelujah.
You know, it is called, please, listen very well. Allow me to explain something to you and your followers. It is called the mystery of iniquity. Now, what is the mystery of iniquity? That is that iniquity that was found in Satan. It is in Isaiah 14. Please, let's do some reading from verse 12 to verse 18.
Isaiah 14 from verse 12 to 18.
Yes.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou called down to the ground, with this weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars.
Are you catching what he's saying? Can you see somebody's ambition? That is the program. What did he say again?
I will
exalt my throne
above the stars of God.
Above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most
high. I will be like the most high. Yet, what will happen to him?
Yet, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sights of the people.
What will happen again?
They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee.
Okay, that will be his end. If you read up to verse 18. And this is what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 28, verse 11 to verse 15. It's very interesting when God, you know, causes you to understand it. Let's read it.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
yes.
Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum.
Now, this king of Tyrus is actually Satan, from the context we read. It's Satan himself ruling in that kingdom of Tyrus.
Thou sealest up the sum.
That is your history. That is who you have been.
Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
Yeah, that's who you were.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Uh-huh. Every precious stone was thy covering. Uh-huh. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. Mm. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. Mm. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabret and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Mm-hmm. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Mm-hmm. And I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Mm-hmm. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Uh-huh. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Uh-huh. Till iniquity
till
was
what?
Till iniquity till was found
iniquity
in thee.
Iniquity was found in thee. Listen very well. Mm. Adams, are you listening? Mm. Sheila, are you listening? Justin, are you listening? Professor Elvis Smart, are you listening? And all the theologians of this world, are you listening? Listen very well. Until iniquity was found in him. What is the iniquity? Iniquity that was found in Satan, that mighty cherub of God. The iniquity was his desire to be like God. To rule the whole world. And cause the world to worship him. That is his desire. Now, remember, if he's going to execute that, it will be through an agenda.
Yes, sir.
You see? So whatever is happening today in the whole world is to achieve that one ambition that the Spirit of the Lord described as an iniquity. So how will he achieve it? You see? How will he achieve it? It is the period that God himself allowed it. In Luke chapter 21. Yes, you see, from verse 20 to 24, let's read some of these scriptures.
And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies,
yes,
then know that the desolation thereof is near.
Uh-huh.
Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains,
mm-hmm,
and let them which are in the midst of it depart out.
Uh-huh.
And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto.
Uh-huh.
For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
Yes.
But woe unto them that with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon these people.
Mm.
And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations.
Uh-huh.
And Jerusalem shall be trundled down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Now, this times of the Gentiles has dual application. The times of the Gentiles, as applied in the context where we read in Luke chapter 21, is the period that Jerusalem will be a desolate, will be wasted. They'll be taken to captivity and the Gentiles will take over that place. There is an appointed time for them. And we can see that ended 1948.
Amen.
But now watch it again. Daniel also saw the times of the Gentiles.
Mm. Amen.
His interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Yes, sir.
Nebuchadnezzar saw the dream, but he didn't understand it. Now, this particular period here, the times of the Gentile, is Satan himself, in an attempt to rule this world. He began to use Gentile kings. This one world dictatorial governments, he began to introduce it. One kingdom, one king will rule the whole world. He began with this agenda that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2, the dream he had. And Daniel came from verse 31 to give the interpretation. Read it up to verse 45.
Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image.
Uh-huh.
This great image, whose brightness was excellent, uh-huh, stood before thee,
yes,
and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his, uh-huh, breast and his arms of silver,
uh-huh,
his belly and his thighs of brass,
uh-huh,
his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest that his stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that, okay, were of iron and clay,
uh-huh,
and break them to pieces.
Uh-huh.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before
the king. Listen, he had told you the dream you saw. What a prophet. This is a prophet.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory.
Okay.
And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Yeah. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all this, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sowest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sowest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes, of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sowest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other peoples, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Verse 45.
For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain
without hands,
and they break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure.
He saw the image was divided into four different parts, and each of those parts were referring to the four kingdoms that will come after Nebuchadnezzar. What a prophet, Daniel. You see people struggling to explain prophecy, struggling to make... When a true prophet speaks, you go and relax.
Amen.
You go, there's no controversy over it. Because it's an agenda that God is revealing. Now, this same Daniel, to make it clearer again for him, Daniel chapter 7. Read it from verse 1. It's some long reading, about 28 verses.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon,
listen very well.
Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stabbed the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him.
Billions.
The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season
you
and time.
You see? Go ahead.
I saw in the night visions.
Yes.
And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body.
Yes.
And the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known
the interpretation.
And made me know the interpretation of the things.
Go ahead.
These great beasts which are four are four kings which are arise out of the earth.
Four kings, as he showed Nebuchadnezzar, he interpreted. He's showing Daniel now directly also now. Four kings. Go on.
But the sons of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
Go on.
Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast.
You can see the emphasis was on that fourth beast, which is the fourth empire. Go on.
Which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful.
Dreadful.
Whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stab the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Oh, glory be to God.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth.
It shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. And take note, that kingdom is still the kingdom that continues till now. Go on.
Which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. And it shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them.
Go on.
And it shall be diverse from the first. And it shall subdue 3 kings. And it shall speak great words against the Most High. And shall wear out the sense of the Most High. And seek to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart.
Now, go back to verse 7 and verse 8.
After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it.
Now verse 8.
And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns.
It had 10 horns. I considered the horns.
And behold, there came up among them another little horn. Before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots.
And go back to verse 24 and 25.
And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them.
So you can see that little horn is also a kingdom. Okay, go on.
And it shall be diverse from the first, and it shall subdue 3 kings.
And verse 25.
And it shall speak great words against the Most High.
Okay, now.
And shall wear out the sense of the Most High.
So take note of that little horn.
Amen, the little one.
Take note of that little horn among these 10 horns that rises, so it becomes the 11th horn.
Amen.
Okay, but it's little, yet stronger, until it can even subdue 3 out of those 10 big horns. And he call it kingdom.
Amen.
Okay. Because now why I'm bringing this out is you can see that there is an agenda. A satanic Luciferian agenda to rule the whole earth. And it began in a time. Because remember, he's a spirit. God is a spirit, and God will rule through a man, the man Christ Jesus. He too is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. And he too will rule through a man. This time the Bible calls it the Antichrist. And please, it is not the man that Satan is going to use for this one world order to rule. Is not through an Islamic agenda. That's what I want the whole world to know. All these are just stage set for him to manifest.
Wow.
You see, now when you talk about the beast, you see, notice they keep talking about the beast with the 10 horns. That means the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms. But it is a beast with 10 horns. That means it is a Satan walking through these 10 kingdoms. And that is the European nation today. You see, when you hear, we hear Prince of Tyros, and then we have King of Tyros. So as Satan, the description of the King of Tyros, you can see that it is a domain that is ruled by that beast, Satan. And Ezekiel explained that to us. So when you see that the king, the beast, that is, there is a beast that is ruling the European nation, the European Union, Europe, let me put it that way, generally. You see, described in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3.
Revelation 12.
Yes.
And verse 3.
Yes.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads.
Again.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon.
A great red dragon.
Having 7 heads and 10 horns.
You see, it's having 7 heads and 10 horns.
And 7 crowns upon his heads.
So what is he trying to tell you that? We know that these horns are kingdoms. The Bible says so. But there is a beast behind them, ruling all of them. People are ruling the world, and they don't know the spirit that is inspiring them, you know, to do what they are doing. That is the same beast you see in Revelation. In fact, let me see if I can get this scripture very clearly. In Revelation chapter 12, let's read it from verse 2.
And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered.
And there okay, verse 4 is my ear.
Okay.
Yes.
And he still drew the third part.
That is the tail of that beast.
Drew the third part of the stars.
So you can see that beast is Satan. Because that is his history. That's what happened. A third part of those angels.
And it cast them to the earth.
Yes.
And the dragon stood before the woman.
And
which
the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to do what?
For to devour her child as soon as,
it was born. So when Herod, in Matthew chapter 2,
yes, sir,
verse 16 and verse 18.
Matthew 2, 16, 18.
Yes.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by
Jeremiah
the prophet.
Now, when Herod was killing, you can see, we are looking at the Herod, but it is that beast that was looking for that child that was born. It was Satan, looking for Christ to finish him. But who did he use? Herod. This is very interesting.
So God will always use a man.
So you see that beast, Revelation 13,
yes, sir,
verse 1.
Revelation 13, 1.
Yes.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads.
Is that not the same beast that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7?
Yes, sir.
So you can see, who is it? It's nobody other than Satan. Revelation chapter 17 also.
Wow.
The first 6 verses there.
And there came one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vows. And he talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great all that sitteth upon many waters. with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of our fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns.
Go ahead.
And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints.
You see?
And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Now that is that power that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7, the little horn. This is what you see in Revelation chapter 17.
The woman is the little horn.
That little horn you see is a power. It's a kingdom. Now, you will notice that in Revelation chapter 17,
yes, sir.
Verse 15.
And he said unto me,
yes,
the waters which thou sawest, where they all sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
And verse 16.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall aid the all, and shall make her desolate and naked.
Go to verse 18.
And the woman which thou sawest is that great city.
Is that great city
which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
That's why I said, and that is that little horn. Apart from those other ten horns, the 11th horn, the 11th kingdom. And it is just, why it is little is because it is a one city state. And yet, having influence over the whole world.
Over the kings of the earth.
It's a mystery. You see, the thing that people should know is that Satan has his own kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, what did he say?
Ephesians 6, 12.
Yes.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
It's organized. So, very interestingly, if you look at Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus Christ, verse 8 and verse 9.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them.
Hear what he said.
And saith unto him, all these things
will I give thee,
if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
So, you see, and this, you know, is manifesting. If you want wealth, Satan will give you, if you will worship him. You want power, Satan will give you.
Wow.
If you will worship him. And he's now manifesting all these through the religions that he has, you know, craftily invented. When you look at them, you see this one as if they are disagreeing with this, this one as if they are disagreeing with this. It's all the same spirit. And by their identity, you will know them. Islamization is just an instrument to take part of one of his agendas. Just an instrument. If you notice, the spread of that religion goes with violence, death sentence.
Wow.
It goes with war. It goes with bloodshed. They are doing it and believing that they are doing God a favor. Who is the author of killing and bloodshed? It's Satan. The Holy Spirit will never, God will never, it's not the author of bloodshed like this. Never. And we all know it. All religions other than the Christian faith are designed by Satan to achieve this one invention. I mean, one intention. One agenda.
Yes, sir.
It's an agenda. You see, that is using religion. Now, Satan is going to use religion, which is supposed to be the worship of God, and is also going to use science. You see, now remember that Satan is a religious person. Oh yes, very religious.
Religious.
He even disguised an angel of light. The Bible says so. He's going to use religion. Listen very well. There are three instruments Satan is going to use. If you allow me, I will even make it four. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
The first one is going to use religion. The next one is going to use politics. The next one is going to use economy. And the fourth one is going to use science, scientific invention, otherwise known as the Internet of Things. How is he going to do it? Religion, you can see what they are doing. And have you observed that with all these religions that look as if they are fragmented, there's an attempt now to have an ecumenical council. So they all come together and agree. Ecumenism. And that is religion. And that is where all of them are eventually coming to land. Because the one world order is about one man ruling the whole world. And so he has to be religious. Because the whole world believes there is a being to be worshipped. That is why we have all manner of religions. All established by Satan, inspired by him. So eventually, the one world order is going to, you can see, even in Nigeria, you can see, he's already inspiring people to spearhead that agenda of let's come together, we're all worshipping the same one God, one God, one God, one God. So that eventually he will be installed as a religious leader. But before he comes to this stage, he is effectively going to use economy. How will he use economy? Therefore, he has to raise some of these things we hear about, some of these big names, secret societies that we hear of today. They are the ones controlling the economy of the whole world. Secret
like
worlds,
Illuminati,
and all of them. They are the ones controlling the economy of the world. And they are all as godless as the billionaires of this world are not even known. That is one funny thing. All this one, they are calling this and calling this. Calling this, calling this, calling this. There is no organization that is richer than the Catholic Church.
That's right.
In the whole world. But nobody mentions the Pope. They can mention the rich preachers. They will call Oyedepo. They will call, what do you call, TDJX. They will call, what do you call it? And all the rest. But did you ever see them call the Pope?
Hey, the richest of them all.
The richest of them all. And that is what is described in Revelation chapter 17. You know, the real rulers, the people that dictate the politics of America are not known. They are not known. These are making noise up and down. They are their boys they send out. The real people are underneath there and dictating what is to be done. So it is all over the world. They decide who will be who, where at any time.
Yes, so you believe that there are some cabals that control the world.
They are, and it is, they are satanically positioned, inspired for an agenda that they may not even know they are being part of.
From what you are saying now, we have cabals controlling not just economy, including the politics of the world.
That is, they are the same people controlling the economy of the whole world, and they know what to do to crash any economy. They know what to do to bring down any government in any part of the world. They know what to do. Because remember, it is a satanic agenda. The whole economy is in their hands. They control the finances. They control the politics. Then, and these are all the instruments that Satan himself has designed that he will use. All of a sudden, we now enter Internet of Things. That is the science now. Through the Internet of Things, who are those that own these satellites? They're the same people controlling the economy of the world. Who are those that own Facebook? Who are those that own all these applications and all this? Does it not surprise you? Paystack, a Nigerian, some Nigerian guys that had a payment system. You know, that had a payment system. And then somebody comes that they created, you know, online payment platform, application. We had it. All of a sudden, a company comes and offers them $200 million to buy it. Some people, that's a deliberate agenda. They want to control all aspects of that. We saw what happened with Facebook, WhatsApp, and all these social media. Right now, before you know what, Google and the rest is one particular organization that owns all of them now. Once you bring anything that is already catching attention of people using it, they come and offer you. They are trillionaires. They own everything. They know how to give you mouth-watering offers, you that created it. They buy it all from you. That is exactly what is happening with the Internet of Things. And now, the whole world is going, they call it Global Village. You see? John Hagee was mentioning something about United Nations is the modern day Tower of Babel. I said, no, sir. United Nations is not confused. They know what they are doing. The agenda of the United Nations is not, is global peace. It's global peace. Internet. When they were building the tower, their aim is to reach heaven. The heaven that Satan was cast down from, they want to reach there. Why do they want to reach the heaven? Because they know heaven controls all the whole world. Can't you see all of a sudden invention, satellite comes, and now the whole world, in real time, you can watch football in Europe from Africa. Elections, speeches, everywhere. Look at us now. We are watched all over the world in real time. In real time. And people are looking at it. Oh, advancement technology. Yes, it's supposed to make life easier. But by it, everything is now going to be under control. And who owns the internet technology? They're the same people.
Wow.
So, you will notice that the new world order is going to be headed by that prince that shall come. Spoken to, given, the revelation was given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and verse 27.
Daniel 9, 26 and 27.
Yes.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined.
Uh-huh.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many.
Now, who is the person that will confirm the covenant?
The prince that shall come.
It's the prince that shall come. Shall confirm
the covenant.
That will enter a covenant with Israel. Remember, this is an agenda for Israel. Okay?
With many for 1 week.
But by the time he's coming, the whole world is already behind him. And what will happen?
And in the midst of the week, it shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
Mm-hmm.
And for the overspreading of abominations, it shall make it desolate.
And that is when that great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, that great period that we are still waiting for Israel to go through because they will turn him down. And that will be the period where Revelation chapter 13 will be fulfilled. Where the mark of the beast, you can read it from verse 1 to verse 18. Unless you take that mark, you will not be allowed to buy nor sell. And you will notice that it is the mark there. Let's read it. Okay, maybe from verse 16.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
What's the number?
Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. What is the number of a man? And his number is 666.
So you will see that a foretaste of it, a foretaste of it is what we see in Daniel chapter 3, the image of Nebuchadnezzar. You see, if you read it from verse 1,
Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits.
Read up to verse 7.
He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet."
Now let's count it. The cornet.
Flute.
Two.
Harp.
Three.
Sackbut.
Four.
Psaltery.
Five.
Dulcimer.
Six. How many instruments?
Six instruments.
Six instruments. And all kinds
and all
of
kinds
music.
All kinds of music.
What should you do?
Ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
Can you see? Praise God.
Hallelujah. Tribulation.
That is that tribulation. Why? Why would there be tribulation? Because some Jews will refuse to bow. That is it from verse 8.
Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace."
Verse 12.
There are certain Jews.
Oh my, there are certain Jews.
Whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Can you see, by the time you read Revelation chapter 13, you will notice that there are some people that will not bow.
Amen.
And that is why he gets angry and then descends on them. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a type of the elect Jews. You see, and this fulfills, this is fulfilled in the fourth seal. Revelation chapter 6.
Verse 7.
From verse 7.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the first beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
What did he say?
A pale
horse. That is a color of deceit. We have always thought that. It's a color of deceit, yes.
And his name that sat on him was Death.
Yes.
And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth.
Now, watch it. Now, that is why I said that according to the divine agenda, at this end time, the symbol of our faith is not the flying eagle.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because we have four beasts in Revelation chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Before the throne of God. What is the first one?
The lion.
The lion.
The calf. The face as a man.
And then.
The flying eagle.
And then these four are the four beasts symbolic of the anointing, the standard that God will raise to counter the Antichrist spirit that is revealed in Revelation chapter 6 in those four horse riders. It's the same horse. It is the same horse. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
It is the same horse. This time is against the church. The same horse that was white, it only transformed to red, then transformed to black, and now transformed to a pale horse. It's the same Antichrist spirit changing her operation. The way she was operating is what is depicted by the colors of that horse. It's just like those four kingdoms. They are it's the same beast. After he finished with Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian Empire, it was the same beast ruling in the Medo-Persian Empire, the same beast in the Grecian Empire, and it's the same power beast in the fourth
Roman
beast,
Empire.
The Roman Empire. So that is why followers of the ministry of William Branham, otherwise known as the end time message believers, you fight me when I speak the way I speak, because it punches your theology. When the first seal was opened, the first beast said, "Come and see." Revelation.
That's right.
What was it? What was the first beast?
The lion.
It's the lion. When the second seal was opened in Revelation chapter 6, he said the second beast, in fact, very specific, the second beast said, "Come and see." What's the second beast?
The calf.
The calf. When the third seal, when the horse became black, the dark ages, the third beast said, "Come and see." What was the third beast?
The face as a man.
That gave those revelations. And it was in that third beast that a revival was going to take place.
Amen.
That revival ends with homegoing.
Amen.
Stop your theology and listen to Revelation. Some of you people, it's very clear. Except you just willingly decide to be blind, and may your eyes be open.
Amen.
That's the problem with denominational, religion. They have no place to reason again. They have believed what they want to be. This thing is just as easy as ABC. Just like water baptism. When you see people arguing water baptism, you just look. You begin to thank God for your life. This is as clear as anything. The rapture takes place in the third seal. Clear, amen. Clear. There's no this in there.
Amen and amen.
There is a revival there that will not be stopped until we go home.
Hallelujah.
Then the gospel we go to Israel with the signing of that agreement, the covenant of chapter 27 of Daniel chapter 9. We saw it.
Yes, sir.
It is in that fourth seal. Why? He said the fourth, when he opened the fourth seal, he saw a deceptive spirit, the pale horse.
That's right.
And then it was when the fourth seal was opened, then the fourth beast said, "Come and see." And what did he see?
A pale horse.
Deceit. He was letting them know that agreement they are going to enter is what Isaiah called covenant
of death.
With death. What is going to land you people into trouble, you politicians of Israel. And it's that same Satan. That same Satan described as the serpent, as a false prophet, is described as that beast. That is his attempt to rule the whole world. Is now going religion. Israel, the focal point. If Christ, the ruler of the whole world, will come through Israel, he too has to go to Israel. So he goes there. If only Israel will accept him, then he has gotten everywhere. He goes there according to that divine agenda. And scripture is hereby fulfilled. And I want you to note, what is the beast that say, "Come and see"? It is the flying eagle.
Yes, sir.
The fourth beast there is the flying eagle.
That's right.
Then you will understand in Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 14.
And when the dragon saw that it was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man.
That woman is Israel. that brought forth the man child, Jesus.
Amen.
And see what happened.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle.
You see? To do what?
That she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time.
And when we are at the two wings of a great eagle, who are they? They are the Revelation 11, two prophets.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verse 3.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses.
Uh-huh.
And they shall prophesy 1,203 score days.
That is 3.5 years.
Yes, sir.
That is the first 3.5 years of those 7 years agreement that they had.
Amen.
Yes.
These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
As Zechariah saw. Amen. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 3 and also verse 14. Yes.
Amen. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouths and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be.
Who do we know in the Bible that used fire to devour
them? Elijah.
Elijah. Uh-huh.
These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in days of that
prophecy. Who was doing that?
Elijah.
Uh-huh.
And have power over waters to turn them to blood.
Who was doing that?
Moses.
Uh-huh.
And to smite the earth with all plagues.
Who was doing that?
Moses.
These are the wings of the two, of the great eagle. These two prophets that God will use and tell them something that will make them know where to go and hide.
Amen.
The elect Jews. The politician will not see it. But the elect Jews. And then, the persecution period. They will escape the persecution period. How long will this last? We see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Let me just give the scriptures. It is 3.5 years. We see in Daniel 7:25, Daniel 12, verse 7, Revelation 13, verse 5, Revelation 11, verse 2 and 3, 3.5 years, which is the middle of the covenant of that 7 years, 1 week that we see in Daniel 9 and verse 27. That is the tribulation of those days that Christ was referring to in Matthew 24, verse 29. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Of those days.
Amen.
So he goes there and then sits there. Because there is something I have to, in this same Revelation chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
Where we see the fourth seal.
Verse 7 and 8.
You, Brother Lumide, you cannot argue this, that the flying eagle is not the symbol of our faith.
Very correct.
That you can see that, verse 7 first. Let's dissect that scripture again.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see.
Uh-huh.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
Yes.
And his
the
name...
fourth beast is the flying eagle that said, come and see. That means... And this flying eagle that said, come and see, it's a prophetic anointing that will reveal what is happening.
Amen.
Yes?
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
Uh-huh.
And his name that sat on him was Death.
Death and hell.
Hell followed.
Now, I know that we have taught that the spirit of deception using the anointed ones at the end time, that is what Satan is using to fulfill this scripture. We do that because we believe that God has sent us a prophet in this age. Mm. And that it is in the middle of this confusion that God is raising a man by the name of William Branham. But that is a wrong placement of the ministry of William Branham.
Amen.
He has no part in this. He's found in the third seal.
Amen.
Okay. Fine. And we have tried to place him appropriately.
Amen.
That ministry according to the scriptures. Because we said adding and subtracting is the secret of death.
Yes.
And this is the age where you see the deception, where the word of God died, was the fulfillment of Matthew 13 verse 33, where the whole meal was corrupted. And that is what produced the third seal, Revelation chapter 6 from verse 5 and verse 6.
Yes, sir.
The total dark, that is the death. That is where what was planted at Pentecost was killed. And that began in AD 325. And he said, followed him. Now, watch and power, verse 8.
And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth.
It is specific. Over the fourth part of the earth.
To kill with the sword.
Now you see, he is given power to kill. To kill with the sword. The sword here is not the word of God. It is weapon.
And with hunger. And with death. And with the beasts of the field. Beasts of the earth. Yeah.
Beasts of the earth. So they will be feeding human beings to animals. You see? So that you'll understand, I just use this opportunity to properly place this 40 beasts. So if you are saying we are eagle. Yeah, eagle by revelation, spirit of revelation, eagle, yes. But according to divine agenda, using those four beasts in Revelation chapter 4, it is the face of a man, the restoration ministry, the reformers, the restorers. That is what we fall under, where the word of God was fully restored. But when it came to Israel, remember, Hosea 13 verse 12, was it 12, 13?
Hosea 12, 13.
Yes.
And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt.
By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, yes.
And by a prophet was he preserved.
So he will use, prophets are sent to Israel. God uses prophets for Israel. God uses prophet for Israel. Hebrew chapter 1.
Amen and amen. Yes, sir.
God, verse 1.
Who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
By the prophets. Now in this age.
As in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. By whom also he made the world.
And this son is the one now that he came, established his church, and he gave some.
Apostles,
some
prophets,
some
evangelists,
some
pastors and teachers.
Ephesians 4:11.
Amen.
Therefore, in this age that we are in now, you won't like what I'm saying, but the truth remains. It is a fivefold ministry. Prophets.
Amen and amen.
The dispensational prophet of God, we are still in the dispensation of grace.
Hallelujah. I believe you.
John chapter 1.
Amen and amen.
And verse 17.
Amen. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Now watch it again. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And verse 18. What does it say?
Deuteronomy 18:18.
Yes.
And I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren.
What did he say?
Like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that shall
command. Go to verse 16. Let's read it from verse 16.
According to all that thou desires of the Lord thy God in Horeb, the day of the assembly.
Thank you very much.
Saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Neither let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die not.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto me,
this is where I am going.
They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren.
Like unto thee.
Like unto thee.
And will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name.
Yes.
Which I have not commanded him to speak.
Yes.
Or that shall speak in the name of other gods. Even that prophet shall die.
And that is what Peter was making reference to in Acts chapter 3. Now in Acts chapter 3, let's read it, verse 19.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you,
uh-huh.
whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things,
uh-huh.
which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
Uh-huh.
For Moses truly said
unto the fathers, now that's why I'm going. Yes.
A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren,
uh-huh.
like unto me.
Uh-huh.
Him shall ye hear in all things, uh-huh. whatsoever he shall say unto you.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among them.
Read on.
Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days.
Uh-huh.
Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed.
Uh-huh.
Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
So who was that prophet Moses was referring to?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Now take note that Moses' ministry ended and Joshua had to be appointed to carry on the... Now, but the interesting thing there is that Jesus' ministry has not ended.
Hallelujah.
So he still remains the prophet. And that is why Hebrew 1 verse 1, repeat it again.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets,
uh-huh.
as in these last days.
These last days, including now.
Spoken unto us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds.
So, in this dispensation now,
this is our prophet.
Who is the prophet for this age? Who is the prophet for this age of dispensation?
Jesus. The Lord Jesus.
You see, he wrote the book of, he gave us the book of Revelation. And he said, for the spirit of Christ, the spirit of prophecy.
Yes. Revelations 19:10.
Thank you. Thank you.
The testimony Thank of
you.
Jesus.
Uh-huh. We've gotten it. Thank you.
Is the spirit of prophecy. That,
you see, read verse 10.
And I fell at his feet to worship him.
Yes.
And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren.
That is the angel, because John was going to worship him. Yes.
I have the testimony of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Worship God. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That is the scripture I'm looking for. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... You know, maybe you now understand another scripture where he said that the Holy Spirit will not speak of his own, but will testify will testify of me.
Yes, sir.
Let's get that scripture.
John 16.
It says from verse 12.
Okay. I have yet many things to say unto you.
Oh God.
But ye cannot bear them now.
Now that, can you see? But what happens?
How be it, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Uh-huh.
For he shall not speak of himself.
Yes.
But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
Uh-huh.
And he will show you things to come.
Uh-huh.
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine.
Will receive of mine.
And show it unto you.
Because... He is still the one speaking.
Amen and amen.
He is our prophet.
Amen.
In this age.
Amen.
Oh my.
Hallelujah.
Talking of dispensational prophet. I'm talking of dispensational prophet.
Amen.
The whole of the law knew only one dispensational prophet. Mm. Isaiah was not a dispensational prophet. Mm. Because there are only two dispensations.
Amen and amen.
The dispensation of the law, amen. And the dispensation of grace.
Amen and amen.
If you break it down, then, you know, you are going to create a lot of confusion. Mm. We have only old covenant and the new covenant.
Hallelujah.
And each of them is led by a prophet.
Amen and amen.
The day you catch that, then you will run to get the Holy Ghost. Mm. You run to get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Speaking. He's the one showing you vision.
Amen.
He's the one, you're hearing that voice.
Amen.
He is the one giving you those prophecies.
Amen and amen. Wow. Okay, we'll take a short break to digest this long talk and these powerful words of knowledge. When we come back, we have a few more questions to ask the pastor. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.